in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. No, you're not dreaming. You are not in some alternative universe. It's true. The Paranormal Patriot is back for a new episode. This makes 2 weeks in a row. Yes, I know, it's hard to believe. 2 weeks of brand new shows back to back have been few and far between lately for the Paranormal Patriot, but I feel pretty good. I felt pretty good for a week and a half now, and oh, I'm hoping beyond hope that that trend continues. So yes, thank you for listening to the Paranormal Patriot. As always, I am your host wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. We are here with a new show again for the second week in a row. Can you believe it? But now this show, I'm going to change it up. I'm going to throw a curveball, a change up, maybe a knuckle curve. To be honest with you, I don't know the last time I talked about anything paranormal or cryptid related on this show. The last 3, 4, 5 months, if not more, have been devoted to everything politics, which, you know, with everything going on in the world nowadays, it should be, but I'm all politicked out. I need a break, even if just for 1 week. I need a break from politics, from the world ending. I just need to get down to my what started the show, and that is cryptids and paranormal. Just to put my mind at ease, kind of relax for a little bit. So that's what I'm going to do on this week's show. There has been a plethora of cryptid sightings all over this country in the past month. Not even that, in the past 2, 3 weeks. It's almost like they're coming out of the woodwork. But before we take our first break, I do have to talk one thing. Politics is not end of the world politics, but if you follow the news, any type of news, mainstream, alternative news sources, you will know that over the last couple days, Donald Trump has just completed his first 100 days. And as expected, the media has lambasted him for getting nothing done. Well, first of all, I agree 100% with Donald Trump. This is not something you can fix in 100 days. The media will tell you that he has accomplished nothing, but the results speak differently. No, he hasn't repealed Obamacare. No, he hasn't got a plan to build the wall. Those are two things that were big on his election campaign. But those are two things that take some time. Now, on the Obamacare thing, I'm a little bit upset at that because that was priority number one. But this brings me to my point. Everybody's lambasting him, saying Donald Trump is the worst president ever. He can't get anything done. Well, the problem I have, and the problem he has, more importantly, is he's getting it from both sides. Of course we would expect the Democrats to oppose him every step of the way, and they're doing so. Do you realize he still does not have every one of his nominees nominated for the post that he has chosen them for? He just, and I mean within the past week, filled out his cabinet. Tell me there's no obstruction going on there. But the Democrats will sit there and tell you that the Republicans are the obstructionists. They just aren't willing to work with anybody. Well, tell me the last time a president has taken his first 100 days to get his cabinet filled. I couldn't find a time before that. But it's not only the Democrats. It's the Republicans opposing him. The Republicans are opposing him because they are afraid he's going to change the way Washington works. In other words, change the way they make their money and hold their power. With that being all things considered, he's getting it from both sides. He's done a hell of a job. You can't complain about what he's done. Okay, I guess if you're an environmentalist, the EPA regulations that he lifted would tick you off. If you are an environmentalist, the drilling in the Antarctic and the Arctic would tick you off. But we didn't elect him for that. We elected him to rebuild this country's economy. It's well on its way. Granted, you know how I feel about the stock market, but people are making a crap ton of money off of the stock market right now because it's at all-time highs. The uncertainty that the stock market was supposed to have because nobody knew what was going to happen in the Donald Trump presidency, yours truly kept telling you, anybody in the stock market, stay in if Donald Trump wins because you're going to make a lot of money because businesses realize that Donald Trump is there to help them thrive. Hence, his new tax plan. Dropping the business tax from, I think it was a high of 39.7% down to 15%. And you'll have the Democrats sit there and say, well, that's unsustainable. That's going to create a deficit. That's going to destroy the economy. Well, Ronald Reagan did the same thing. Ronald Reagan dropped the business tax a pretty big proportionate amount. And what happened? We had the biggest windfall of revenue at the time that the country had ever seen. He took us out of the Democrat-run Jimmy Carter depression. I'm sorry, recession. Some people call it a recession. I call it a depression because I know I wasn't in a recession when I was growing up. I was in a full-fledged depression. But Ronald Reagan took us out of that. And how did he do it? He dropped business taxes. And what happens when you drop business taxes? Businesses are able to make more money, hire more people. What happens when you hire more people? The people that you hire have more disposable income, so therefore they are able to spend more, stimulating the economy. It's a beautiful thing. The Democrats don't want to hear that. They want to sit there and say, you can't lower taxes, therefore the deficit will increase tremendously. Well, to answer that, I would ask the question, where were you when all these entitlement programs were getting funded left and right? That increased the deficit, but you have no problem with that. Well, that's helping out people. Well, wouldn't giving them a job and giving them disposable income help them out even more? But that's the difference between a Republican / conservative and a Democrat / liberal communist snowflake crybaby. So when you look at Donald Trump's first 100 days, you have to look at it with a third eye. Because you're going to hear that he has failed and he has failed miserably, that everybody hates Donald Trump. But if the election were held today, the results would be the same. There's a poll that just came out that showed that exact same thing. So the Democrats that are out there, the media that are out there saying, oh, even Trump supporters are abandoning him in waves. It's not true. If that were the case, if the election were held today, we would be having Hillary Clinton's 100-day report card. And if you listen to this show, the majority of you will thank God every day that that is not the case. So just look at it with an open mind. Think for yourself. Decide for yourself. How has the last 100 days been? He has reasserted America's place as somebody you don't mess with. And to be honest with you, for the future of my family and the future of my country, that's one of the biggest accomplishments he has had. Yes, I understand war sucks. Bombing civilians, bombing any country sucks. But we have to realize that we as human beings are a pretty combative species. And this is what we do. And we do it better than anything else. We wage war and hate on other people better than anything else the human race has ever done and probably will ever do. It's a way of life for us. But what he's done in the last 100 days is erase 8 years of pacifying and apologizing for this country. No longer are these countries saying, oh, yeah, America, they're weak. Now they're looking at it as, oh, boy. Are you sure you want to do that to the United States? Because Donald Trump ain't messing around. We might get bombed. You know, that's a big plus in my book, because at that point, it makes me, my family, you, my listeners, makes us just a wee bit safer, because people have second thoughts. Well, people except for that fat little Chinese or North Korean guy who seems to be hell-bent on destruction of his people and his power, but so be it. His day is coming. So that's my political rant. Congratulations to Donald Trump on his 100-day milestone. Don't let the detractors tell you otherwise. I think you're doing a pretty bang-up job. Yes, I understand there are some things that I'm not happy with, but you can't please everyone all the time. If you please me 60 to 70%, I consider that a win, and I'm that pleased. So, when we come back, we will start listening to me go over some eyewitness accounts of some cryptid encounters that just don't seem to make sense, because some of these are not in places they should be. So sit back, relax, get that tinfoil hat on nice and tight, because we're going on one heck of a trip. We'll be right back. This is Tom Velasquez, and you are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. So with the subject of this show being what it is, I think it's only appropriate that I tell you that this portion of the show is being brought to you by Richard Knox and the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. Now, upcoming in the show, I'm going to talk to you about the number of Bigfoot sightings that are happening in this country and why and how they're increasing. But if you live in Southern Michigan or the surrounding area and you've had an encounter or something unexplainable happened to you, please contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. They can be contacted at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Again, seems like Bigfoot is coming out of the cracks, coming out of the woodwork. They're like cockroaches all of a sudden. So if you live in Southern Michigan or the surrounding area and you've had an encounter or something unexplainable happened to you and you want to talk about it, you need to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. Again, they can be contacted at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. All right. Now, this is going to upset some of you, but bear with me. Let's get politics out of our mind. Let's move it off of the front burner and put it on simmer in the back. And let's take what was simmering before, the cryptids and the paranormal, let's move that to the front burner. Because lately, cryptid sightings across the country have been skyrocketing, and I, for one, I have no idea why. So let's start off in, of all places, Chicago. Chicago, Illinois, where you wouldn't think anything cryptid-related could get by. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. There's a lot of crazy things that happen in Chicago, but you would think a cryptid would stand out like a sore thumb in Chicago. But lately, there has been a rash of Mothman-type creature reporting, or creatures reported in and around Chicago. Now, if you've listened to the show for a little bit, you remember my interview with Danielle, and we talked about the Jersey Devil, and she corrected me on what the difference between Mothman and the Jersey Devil is. Now, Mothman is a humanoid-type creature, 6'2", 6'4", 6'5", feet tall, and it has extremely large wings. It's supposed to be the harbinger of doom. Well, now we have sightings left and right of a Mothman-type creature in Chicago. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to you real quick. I've got a couple of instances here. They're very recent of eyewitness encounters. And then I'm going to talk to you about what I think possibly may be going on. But these are just a few of the encounters that people have been seeing in and around Chicago. So the first one I have on file, 4/15 of 2017. I arrived for work at 2 a.m. at the Chicago International Produce Market just off of Damon. And as I walked across the parking lot, a bunch of guys, which was about four or five, were staring up at the sky. I looked up and I saw the biggest freaking owl I have ever seen. I'm 6'2", and I'm guessing that this thing was at least a foot taller than me. It was completely black except for having bright yellow reddish eyes like a cat. It stood there for a minute or two staring at everyone before shooting up into the sky and disappearing. It made everyone feel very uneasy and only took off after some guys threw rocks at it. Smart move. It had wings on it like an owl, only bigger, and you could hear it flap those wings when it took off. It made this sound as it took off and flew away that sounded like a truck's brakes when they are burned out. It flew up and flew in a wide circle, making a sound, that sound once more, and then flew off in the direction of Stevenson Expressway. We stood around and looked at it, or looked for it for a few more minutes, but it never came back. I'm reporting this because there is no way that this was an owl. It stood upright like a man, just really, really tall. I don't want to discuss this with anyone and would prefer to remain anonymous. I don't imagine anyone would believe me anyways. One of the guys I work with who saw this thing said it made him feel very uneasy, like a scared kid, and he was glad someone threw a rock at it and made it fly away. Okay, now, first thing, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. If you come across a Mothman or some type of creature that you've never seen before, makes you feel uneasy, I'm going to recommend you not throw rocks at it. I threw pennies at a possum that was blocking my door once. That possum stood up and charged me. I can only imagine what a 7-foot Mothman owl type creature would be capable of doing. Because that possum made me run and lock myself in my car. What is a Mothman type creature going to do? I'm thinking it's going to do a little bit more than a possum. So just a public service announcement from the Paranormal Patriot to you. If you ever encounter a cryptid, don't tick it off. It just makes things worse. Thankfully for this group of guys, it made it fly away. So, as I've mentioned before, I have a quote-unquote contact friend of mine that is a field investigator for MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. And just on a whim, I said, hey, I have been reading and getting accounts from a couple listeners in the Chicago area of an owl-like or Mothman type creature being witnessed. Now, I know this doesn't have anything to do with UFOs, but are you guys receiving anything on this? And my contact came up with a couple of very, very recent sightings. Now, one of them I'm going to discuss in greater detail because the case number 83325 from MUFON is pretty basic, and I did find a much more detailed case, but I will talk about that one in a minute. I do have a MUFON case sighting, and that case number is, oh my gosh, I just lost it, case number 83243. It happened about 10 o'clock p.m. on April 15th, 2017. Now, I'm going to use the actual verbiage that this person used in their report, so pardon me for my slang. So, it starts off as we were hanging out with my boys and a few friends in Chicago about 10 o'clock p.m. As we talked about work and our families, we heard something that sounded like a bird flapping its wings. one of my homies yelled out that he saw a huge lechuza over by the road. The lechuza is a Mexican urban legend or myth about an old woman who can turn into a giant black bird. Well, we walked over there and saw what looked like a big owl. As we walked up on it, the owl stood up on 2 feet and looked right at us. We saw what looked like a huge lechuza, except that it was about 6 feet tall and really big. It had large glowing red eyes that were completely freaking everyone out. We all yelled at this thing, and this thing took off into the air and took off towards North Avenue. This thing freaked us all out and scared all of our kids. Understandably so. If I've got a lechuza, a 6 foot owl standing in front of me, I'm going to be a little freaked out. But maybe, just maybe, you might not want to yell at it. Again, one of these times this lechuza, and correct, or pardon me if I'm not saying this correctly, but if my 4 years of high school Spanish has taught me anything, is that I have no idea if I said lechuza correctly or not. But that's how it sounds in my American language, and that's how I'm going to say it. So anyway, it took off. They never saw it again. That is the completion of sighting number two. So now we're going to talk about the quick sighting on February 15th of 2017 that MUFON sent me, but it was pretty vague. And I don't know the difference why there were two different sightings. Apparently, the sighting that was sent to MUFON was different than the sightings that were pulled off of the Phantoms and Monsters website. So I'm going off of Phantoms and Monsters. This one is from 4/15/2017, again, Chicago, Illinois, and it goes like this. I was out on the lake with my husband and two other couples celebrating a friend's birthday. We were about 2 miles out on the lake, just off Montrose, at about 10 p.m. We were enjoying ourselves when I happened to look up and saw what looked like a giant bat, and not like a fox bat, which I looked up and saw which was the biggest bat. This bat was as tall as my husband, who is 6'4" or even bigger. It was solid black with eyes that seemed to reflect the moonlight. This bat was blacker than the surrounding night sky and was perfectly silhouetted against the moonlit sky. This bat circled the boat 3 times in complete silence before heading off towards Montrose. It quickly blended into the night sky and was gone in seconds. About 5 minutes after seeing this bat, we saw a bright green object traveling north to south at the horizon. It was not a plane, as it was a brilliant green and moving slowly across the horizon. If I had to estimate, it was about 2 miles from our position. After the object was out of sight, we sat there looking around in stunned silence. I began feeling this overwhelming sense of dread and told my husband that I felt it was prudent that we get off the water as quickly as possible. I tried to get a picture of the thing as it circled our boat, but all I got was black. Now, on that same night, Lon at Phantoms and Monsters also received this report. I was working my shift at O'Hare Airport. I was recording a plane because it had my name across it, and then I noticed something flying above the plane in a hovering manner. So I zoomed in on the flying object. It looked like an orb, but the way it was flying was abnormal for anything in the vicinity of the airport. I've worked there for 3 years and have taken many videos and pictures of planes in the sky and never have seen anything like it. I would have kept recording, but I had to assist a passenger and had to stop recording. I was recording through a window, but the window was clear, so it is not a shadow of anything. And they say the way it is flying, it looks like it is in the sky doing its own thing. I have asked a lot of pilots of their opinion, and they said it looks unexplained. When I went back to record more, it was gone. So, I've seen the pictures. There is one set of pictures out there that show purportedly the Mothman or Owlman of Chicago. In my opinion, it is dark black. It is black front to back. It looks almost in flight like a stingray. or a manta ray, depending on your version of what a ray looks like. But there's no denying that something's in the air. But my question is, what is it? The question you should ask is, what is it? I will post a picture on the Paranormal Patriot Facebook page. I will post it on Twitter for those of you who follow my Twitter page. I will post it on Minds also. But looking at the picture, it's odd. But my first question is that a human in a wingsuit? If it is, okay, case solved. But the problem is, there's multiple eyewitness accounts where this thing is not on the air to begin with. It's on the ground. And then it takes off. And the sightings are pretty identical. It looks like an owl, 6 to 7 feet tall. The only discrepancy in every one of these sightings is one. Most of the sightings say they can hear this thing flying over them. The last sighting on the lake near Montrose said it was completely silent. Now, I don't know if at that time it was just kind of gliding and not flapping its wings. But when you have one sighting, I'll chalk that up to maybe, just maybe, okay. It was a misidentification. If you have two sightings, we're getting a little bit out of the realm of, okay, that's not ordinary. But if you have three or more sightings of the same creature around the same time, you have to ask yourself, all right, now is there something going on? So has the Mothman, who is predominantly an East Coast, Jersey, Maryland, maybe not Jersey, sorry, Danielle, but Maryland type thing, is it migrating to the West? And did it, for some godforsaken reason, choose Chicago as its home? Apparently, it likes to take its life into its own hands at the fear of getting shot. But again, the Mothman is the harbinger of doom. So, are the sightings of this quote-unquote Mothman-type creature a sign that maybe something's going to happen in Chicago? That's yet to be determined and yet to be seen. If you are listening in Chicago and the surrounding area, please let me know. Have you seen anything resembling a Mothman or a giant owl or a giant bat or a giant stingray or something you haven't seen before and can't identify? Let me know. You can contact me at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. Send me a line and let me know. I'm curious. I'm intrigued. I'm a little skeptical, but I'm intrigued. And when I'm intrigued, I do my research. So now it's research time. But now that's not the only cryptid that seems to be rearing its head out there. Now this is more of a topic for Richard Knox. Richard Knox is my resident Bigfoot expert that is a huge contributor to this show. So why I don't have him on this show is beyond me. That is a question I've asked myself all day. So, Richard, I know you're listening. Please contact me so we can discuss the rash of Bigfoot sightings going on across this country. Now, I don't know if it's just I'm looking for them more so now that I saw a couple, or if there is actually an abundance of Bigfoot sightings, more so than I have ever seen in my, well, how long have I been doing this? 30 years now, looking into the paranormal and cryptozoology of this planet. But it doesn't matter if it's South Dakota, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Oregon, all the way down to Texas. People are recording, filming, photographing what they consider Bigfoot, Sasquatch. Now, some of these, granted, you look at them and you're like, hi, guy in a suit. How you doing? But some of these, you look at them and go, man, that's pretty intriguing. Now, I understand in this day and age that CGI is very common, and we can make anything look real, be it through CGI or even just dressing someone up. So we have to take everything, be it Bigfoot sightings, be it Mothman, Owlman sightings, be it UFOs, be it ghost encounters. We have to take everything with a grain of salt because in this day and age, it is downright impossible almost to tell a fake from the real thing. So we could have a bunch of fakes out there, but the question begs to be asked, why now? We've had this technology for years now. You would think that they would come out right away. Oh my gosh, I can fake a Bigfoot sighting and make it look absolutely real. Let's do it right now. Why years down the road? Why now? I'm a believer in Bigfoot. I know some of you say, Tom, if there was really a Bigfoot, we would have known about it. Well, truth be told, there have been giants on this planet. The Smithsonian has destroyed the evidence. The government, the Smithsonian, anybody, the anthropologists do not want us to know this because that would take all of their life's work and throw it out the window. So I truly believe that there are Bigfoot out there. They are masters of camouflage. They know how to hide and they know how to avoid human interaction. At least they did, because lately it seems like they're coming out and they're like, hey, where's your camera? Take a picture of me. And again, some of these you look at it and it's like, that guy's wearing a plastic Chewbacca mask. That's not a Bigfoot. But some of these, you as they're walking away, you can almost see the muscle tone under the fur. So that's hard to duplicate. And again, I don't know if it is just a rash of people all of a sudden saying, let's fake them. I've talked on a couple episodes of the guy in Midland, Michigan, who gave his Bigfoot pizza. That Bigfoot loved pizza, hated Nutter Butters, would stick sticks in them and leave them there, but loved his pizza boxes. Talked about the guy who claimed to have captured Bigfoot and put him in a freezer. And had that guy, that Bigfoot, through his pictures, look like Papa Smurf. Obvious fake. The guy in San Antonio who shot one along the highway. Because nobody travels the highways of San Antonio where they would see a Bigfoot, let alone a Bigfoot getting shot. So there's a lot of deception, fakery going on in the Bigfoot community. But what and how do you differentiate between what is real and what is not? And that's where Richard Knox is going to come in. He is going to, Richard, you're listening, I hope, and I hope you're going to help me out on this. He will tell us how we can differentiate between real and fake. Real and fraudulent. CGI and the real thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, most of it comes out to firsthand experience in being out in the field. We can't look, and this goes for anything paranormal. We can't look at a video and say, definitive proof right there. You can't do it. You have to be out on the field. You have to go out there and you have to do some investigating. You can't just look at a UFO video and say, that's definitive proof that UFOs are real. You can't do it. You have to go to where that sighting took place and see if there's anything that would be definitive proof. You know, if a UFO landed, let's go on the Bigfoot subject. The Bigfoot subject, Bigfoot are big creatures. They're going to leave remnants of where they are and where they've been. We've all seen the plaster casts of the big feet, the footprints. We've all seen those. So we look for those. We look for their habitat. Richard sent me a picture of something that, you know, I've seen here where I live. We did a ghost investigation in a place called Rosevere Woods in Owosso, Michigan, which was purportedly haunted. And A, I can tell you it's not haunted, but B, we came upon a structure that obviously wasn't made by birds. A, way too big. B, wasn't made by bear, because bear don't live here in Owosso. It was either handmade by humans or Sasquatch. Now, there has never been a Sasquatch sighting here in Owosso that I know of. But it was odd, because I look at that picture that Richard sent me and I look at what I saw, and they're fairly similar. Now, I understand that kids go in the woods and kids make their own forts. And that's what I chalked it up to. But once I saw Richard's picture, I'm like, wow, that looks exactly like what I saw. I don't know. You tell me. You have your own opinions. You have your own beliefs. Do you believe that Bigfoot exists? Look, this country, this planet is large. There are many places for this creature to hide. Again, it is the epitome of pompousness to think we as humans know everything about everything that lives in the forests. We don't. We don't know squat. We take our human knowledge and we base that and say, yeah, that's it. We know everything. Based on our knowledge, yes, we may. But there are so many things that we don't know. And until we accept that, we are going to become stagnant as a species. Because we think that our knowledge of the planet, our knowledge of the universe is dead on. But we're basing that on what our minds can comprehend. People don't want to think that there may be more things out there that we don't even begin to understand. Well, Tom, the human race is the most advanced race on this planet. So therefore, I really think that we know what we're talking about. I disagree. Again, we're pretty smart. We know how to make tools. We know how to kill each other pretty darn well. But we don't know how to make peace. We don't know how to get along with each other. So does that really make us smart? Or just make us barbaric? We hold ourselves up on this pedestal that we are the greatest thing that has ever happened to this planet. But are we? Are we the greatest thing that's ever happened to this planet? Because we destroy this planet every day. Again, at the risk of sounding like a tree-hugging liberal, which I'm not, but I care about this planet. I care about the rainforest that we destroy every day. I care about the pollution, the waste that we are throwing into our water supply every day. I care about what we do to our people and our, what's the word I'm looking for? Our animal kingdom every day. So looking at that, are we really the best thing that's happened to this planet? Or could we be the worst thing that's happened to this planet? Because I really think that if there were no human beings on this planet, there were just animals, it'd be a much better place to be. You wouldn't have to worry about getting blown up, head chopped off, shot, stabbed, burned alive, whatever. Because the human race can't seem to get along. How did I go from Bigfoot to this? The things that go through my mind as I'm doing a show will never cease to amaze you. But now, we can't have a cryptid show without a black-eyed kid encounter. And this really isn't a black-eyed kid encounter, but it's black eyes. Now, before I get into that, there is a picture going viral across the internet of a mugshot of a blonde woman who is covered in tattoos where the whites of her eyes are all black. And everybody's saying, oh my God, that's a black-eyed adult. And I just want to clarify something. If you look at the picture, you can still see the irises. You can still see the, I don't know, the corn. What is it called? What is the brown part, that other eye? That part. You know what I'm talking about. You can still see that. There is a procedure where people can tattoo the whites of their eyes, whatever color they want. Why you would ever do that is beyond me. Hell, I get a drop of water in my eyes and I'm freaking out. I couldn't imagine somebody tattooing my eyes. This is what's going on. She had her eyes tattooed. Now, if you listen to and go over every single black-eyed kid, black-eyed adult, black-eyed person account, there is no definition of an iris in that eye. It's black. If you look at the mugshot, you can see the iris of her eye. She's had, for God only knows what reason, her eyes tattooed. God, that even hurts saying it. For those of you who have had tattoos, more power to you. I couldn't imagine the pain that a tattoo causes. But obviously, some people are into that. Me, nope. I'm a wimp. I couldn't get a tattoo. Nope. Ow. To tattoo your eyes? That's a special kind of pain right there. But anyway, I had a listener send me an account from, obviously they're listening to me and going to Phantoms and Monsters. You're welcome, Lon. And they sent me a post from April 3rd, 2017 of a black-eyed man at work. And this happened in Bradenburg, Kentucky, from Melissa. And she states, I'm a 24-year-old social worker who spends the majority of my day driving to people's homes. Growing up, my mom told me about her paranormal experiences that happened throughout her life. I was a little jealous because nothing ever happened to me. Well, that was until I worked a night shift at Amazon, which is an Amazon.com distributing center. I was working the line, placing boxes of shoes into more boxes and sending them on the conveyor belt. Along the conveyor belt, there were about 20 stations for people to stand and work. Well, there were two people on that line, me and this man that always gave me the creeps. I should mention that I have always been able to pick up on when people are just bad people. That's called an empath, Melissa. You are able to pick up their energy vibes, you know, before you even talk to them. And I've talked about this on the show at length. You are able to know who they are inside and essentially their general demeanor before you even say a word to them. So, Melissa, you may be jealous because you've never had your own paranormal experience. But based on what you just said there, you just need to fine-tune because you are sensitive. You are able to cross that barrier, and you are able to come in contact with the other side or the other dimensions. You just have to fine-tune that thing. So anyway, where was I? I know when they're bad people. Okay, anytime this man would work my line, he would choose to be in the station right next to me. Well, he did it again when there were 18 other stations available. What a weirdo. So because I like my space, I left for a bathroom break and switched to a different station when I came back. Here's where it gets strange. I looked up from my work and down the line. What I saw was this man just standing at his station staring at me. He was just staring at me. He had no animation in his face or body. He was just glaring at me. He had completely black eyes. Those dark black eyes were pure evil. It looked like he was projecting darkness all around him. I immediately took off for the bathroom and started to have a panic attack. When I came back, he was completely fine, like nothing had happened. The next day, he came to my station and asked me why I always seem to move stations when I am on the same one as him. I just shrugged my shoulders as if I had no idea what he was talking about. Luckily, this job was just a summer job between college semesters, so I quit the next week before school. I've researched the black-eyed children, but it doesn't seem like it fits. I have grown up watching the show Supernatural, which portrays demons as having black eyes. I'm wondering if there is any truth to the Hollywood drama. Was this a demon? This man was also African-American. I do not know of any folklore about the Islamic faith, but could there be some form of paranormal being from different religions of this origin? First of all, stop bringing race into it! He's African-American. So what? He doesn't mean he's an Islam or a Muslim. He means he's black. Stop bringing race into everything, please. Now, Melissa, back to you. You are an empath, as I stated before. You are able to sense negative feelings, negative energies. You can see and feel and pick up on those negative entities. Many of my listeners have stated they are empaths, and they can do this. Harness those skills. Harness that gift, and your life will be much, much more rewarding. As I stated many, many times, I grew up not knowing I was an empath. My daughter is an empath. She doesn't believe me. She thinks I'm crazy, but she'll come to that conclusion soon enough. My mother, I know, is an empath, as well as my youngest sister is an empath. They don't understand it. I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger, hey, this is why you feel the way you do. This is why you act the way you do. This is why you can pick up on other people's emotions. It would have made my life 10 times easier rather than me finding it out later in life. Melissa is an empath. Melissa, if you're listening, you're an empath. With that being said, black-eyed people, per se, are not able, from what I understand, are not able to turn it on and off. They're not normal, and then they're not black-eyed. They're either normal or they're black-eyed kids, black-eyed adults, whatever. Demonic, possibly. I don't know. I have never run into, in all my years of paranormal investigations and research, a demon that had shown black eyes. But what I think Melissa was picking up on was just the energy this person was conveying. This person had a negative aura, a black aura. Therefore, that may have translated into the black eyes. So, I don't think this adult was a black-eyed adult. I just think that Melissa, being an empath and sensitive to the aura and the vibe and the energy that people are exhibiting and protruding, she picked up on that. Now, with that being said, we all know my fixation for black-eyed kids. I'm actually surprised they don't have one as a pet. But there are more and more reports coming out of black-eyed adults. Now, does that mean that the black-eyed kid encounters of the early 2000s are now black-eyed adults? Do they grow into black-eyed adults? I don't know. But black-eyed adult encounters are becoming more and more prevalent. Here in Michigan, and the northern states of this country, for that fact, are coming into the summer season. It never fails that during the summer months, when people are camping, going to the beach, I told you about the encounter on Grand Haven Beach last year. But state parks are notorious for black-eyed kids. So don't be surprised coming up in the next couple months if you start hearing me talk about encounters or listeners' encounters with black-eyed kids, because summer months in Michigan, people camp. People like to hike in Michigan. Richard Knox, I'm talking to you. Let's go. People get out in the wilderness into very secluded places. And this seems to be where black-eyed kids and black-eyed adults like to congregate. So for all of my people that are campers, hikers, or just outdoor people, be wary. Because as I've said, I've never had an encounter with a black-eyed kid or a black-eyed adult be a positive on anyone's life. We are at 51 minutes on this show. I have been trying to keep these shows below 45 minutes, and it apparently is impossible for me. So let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to learn this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. And let me tell you, much sooner than I thought, we have a milestone when it comes to the Brian Maddow Award. So stick with me. You don't want to miss this. We will be right back. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. All right, my amazing listeners, you have done a great job. Chris Swiss, and if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize, Chris. But Chris, thank you for all of your efforts last week in promoting the show. I'm asking every one of my listeners, please promote the show. We are right there, just on the verge of jumping to the next level, and I need your help. If you listen to the show, tell all your friends about it. Share it on any social media network. Andrew, Michael, Pat, thank you so much for sharing. And I want to give a special shout out to Michael J. Schumann. Michael, if you're listening to the show, you are new to the show's page. And I believe you're new to listening to the show. But this guy has shared this show, liked posts, commented on posts, got the name of the Paranormal Patriot out on the Facebook universe. Thank you, Michael, for everything you have done. Richard Knox, thank you. Danielle, Brandon, oh my gosh, I could go all day, every day. I've got a special thank you coming up for the Brian Maddow Awards to one of my listeners, Carl. If you have any love for the show, please share the show. Tell all your friends about it. Get this show out there. All it takes is one click. One click of a button. Retweet, share, doesn't matter. Or you could just say, hey, you need to listen to this show. Whatever you need to do to get this show to the next level, help me out, please. Again, as I said last week, I cannot reward you with any type of financial contribution. This show costs a lot of money to produce every week. So the money for the budget, the Velasquez household budget, does not have a budget for the Paranormal Patriot. So I cannot reward you financially. All I can say is you will have my undying support, undying thank you, undying love, and you will get your name on the Paranormal Patriot. Now, how much money could that be worth? Millions, trillions, I don't know. But that is something I would strive for. So if you are listening to the show, retweet it, share it, do whatever you can to move this show to the next level. In advance of your support, me, Tom Velasquez, your host, thanks you from the bottom of my heart. Do what you can to support the Paranormal Patriot. I will never again ask for your monetary contributions. All I ask from you is your support. Thank you again in advance. It is time for this week's Brian Maddow Award. Before I begin to get into this award and send it over on location to our host, me, I want to give all my listeners a huge, huge thank you for your support of the Brian Maddow Awards. It is amazing how many people have contacted the Paranormal Patriots saying that this is the highlight of the show. They wait every week to hear who will be this week's recipient of this prestigious award. Well, this week's winner comes to us from one of our listeners, Shane Hawes. You emailed us and sent us a link to one of our former winners who, unbeknownst to me, is more of an idiot and a douchebag than I would have ever thought. So we have a milestone this week at the Brian Maddow Awards. We have our first multiple winner. Now, I thought this may take months in the making, but this guy is a special kind of stupid. So we'll take it on location to Owosso, Michigan, to give you this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. Thank you, Tom. Yes, we are on location here in Owosso, Michigan. It is always, and I mean always, a pleasure to bring to you the weekly recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. It is so uplifting to me to know that my listeners enjoy and look forward to this award, to see who's going to win this award, to see who has been so stupid and so racist and asinine that they have no choice but to win this award. Now, this award is still in its infancy, and it amazed me to find out that this week's recipient has already won. But somebody has to be the first to win it multiple times, and why not this douchebag? So, without further ado, let's get to the winner of this week's Brian Maddow Award. May I have a drum roll, please? This week's winner is winner of week number 2, Drexel University Professor Cicerello. Yeah, I kind of expected as much. Yeah, no. I am not bothered by it at all. This idiot who refuses to come and accept his award wanted to vomit after seeing someone give up their first class airline seat to a soldier is now currently under investigation by Drexel University. It is citing the wanting to vomit comment as well as a wish over Christmas time for white genocide. Please keep in mind that Professor Cicerello is white. You're an idiot, Professor, if I may call you that, Cicerello. Drexel University is citing negative coverage that led to fleeing students and donors. You don't say. According to Drexel University, it appears that the professor's social media posts have been driving away many potential students and donors. It appears that numerous prospective students whom the university has admitted has written to the university saying that they will not attend. They say at least 2 potential significant donors to the university have withheld previously promised donations. In addition, due to Cicerello's inflammatory tweets, it has led to the nearly unmanageable volume of venomous calls received by the administration. The university has even considered turning off its phones for a few days. The university would like you to believe that it's because of the students and the donors that they are having an investigation on this professor. But is it the fact that this professor was once a winner of the Brian Maddow Award, but now a two-time winner of the Brian Maddow Award? I would like to think that the Paranormal Patriot had something to do with this moron being placed under investigation. But the bigger question is, why does Drexel University now want to investigate this man? Is it because there are students that are not going to attend the school? Or is it because donors who provide much needed money to the university are not going to be donating? Drexel University, you should be ashamed of yourself because you let this professor tweet these asinine statements. But the minute the money stopped rolling in, oh my gosh, we need to investigate this guy. So it was all right for him to tweet whatever this asinine moron douchebag wanted to tweet. But when the money stops rolling in, now is when we have to take action. So maybe, just maybe, I should give out two awards this week, not only to the professor, who is an idiot. By the way, professor, you're white. When you talk about white genocide, you're included in that, just to let you know. So you will win this award, but maybe I should give a secondary award to Drexel University, who found it all right, no problem whatsoever, to have this guy on their staff tweet whatever the hell he wants. But then he offended too many people, and now, only because the money stopped rolling in, now we need to do something about it. It's a shame that this is what our universities have come to. It's all about the money. It's not about the education. It's all about the money. And apparently, it's all about white genocide. Professor Cicerello, your second award is in the mail. Place it right next to your first one. What a treat to already have a two-time recipient of the Brian Maddow Awards. You can be rest assured, though, that there will be more. But until then, it is the duty of the Paranormal Patriot to expose the ludicrous nature of celebrities, of the journalists, of just everyday people. I'm sure there will come a time that people will say the most ridiculous things that they can just to receive a Brian Maddow Award. It is my pleasure to come to you every week to expose the liberal hatred and the liberal lunacy that we are inundated with every single week. Make sure you tell your friends who was this recipient of the Brian Maddow Awards. And I now send it back to Tom Velasquez in the Paranormal Patriot Studios. Tom, back to you. Thanks, Tom. As always, phenomenal job. Absolutely phenomenal. So that will be the show this week. Let me know what you thought of the show. Let me know what you think of the Brian Maddow Awards. I've had so many people tell me they love the Brian Maddow Awards. I want to hear your thoughts on them. You can contact me at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com or theparanormalpatriot on Minds, MINDS.com. I can also be reached at theparapatriot on Twitter.com. However you want to contact me, go ahead and contact me. I love hearing from my listeners. Michael J. Schumann, thank you so much for your support of the Paranormal Patriot. As always, Richard Knox, everything you do helps me out. I can't thank you enough. Andy from Texas, contact me. I haven't heard from you in a bit. I want to hear from you. Make sure everything's all right. Danielle from New Jersey. Shane Hawes. Thank you for this week's recipient of the Brian Maddow Awards. Carl from Maryland, let me know how you're doing. Pat from Michigan, let me know how you're doing. Brandon from Saginaw, I haven't heard from you. Let me know how you're doing. Everybody else, I know I forgot a million different names that contact me, but I'd love to hear from you. All I want you to do is drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what changes I need to make, what I need to keep the same. Every little bit of information helps. But the main part is, thank you for listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Again, I will be back next week. However, the next week after that, I will be flying to the tropical region of Costa Rica with my wife, having our honeymoon that we never had. Oh, I hope I don't have a kid coming out of it. But I plan on having a great time. I plan on doing a show before I leave. That is in the plans. However, I know plans change. So as it stands right now, you will be hearing from me next week. Let me know any show ideas you want to hear about. As always, I love hearing from my listeners. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. And until next week, thank you for listening.